We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back. Quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by tailgatewine.com. This is Ask Greg. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. We are going through your Penn State football and recruiting questions, and the winner, as always, gets a bottle of Tailgate Wine. And if you're not sure what Tailgate Wine is, you can check it out at tailgatewine.com, specifically the blue and white wine gift box. They have some wine and barbecue pairings, sauces and rubs as well. You can check it all out at tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. And we are going to go down through your questions. It's been a little while since Greg has gotten a chance to answer questions from you. And I'm going to start with an interesting one from Steve from Huntington Valley first. Why is the groundskeeper at Beaver Stadium always interrupting the Flounders Jones postgame videos with his tractor driving? Is there a grudge the fans need to know about? This is a fair question because it always happens.
No, it's just the highlight of the afternoon or evening, whatever time the kickoff is. And then, you know, the fellow who does, I guess he's putting down grass, either putting down grass seed or putting down some kind of feed for the turf. Obviously, they do a tremendous job up there with keeping Beaver Stadium in tremendous shape. But no, it's always, we always like to think it's hit or miss whether Tractor Man will make an appearance in the background. But let's be honest, it's more like, it's more about when it will happen than if it'll happen at this point. So I hope he enjoys the camera time he gets.
So the one constant in all this is that these videos, roughly the same amount of time after each game, happen.
Right.
So his schedule and Bob and Dave's schedule just happened to align.
Right.
But it's just figures. You know, it's sort of the end of a long day, and they're just trying to get their video done, which, by the way, I think that's the closest thing to, I don't know what all out there I would say is must read or must watch after any Penn State game. But Bob and Dave's video, I think, is a must watch thing.
Yes.
I think you have to watch it just to see what those two jokers have to say. Rob from New Jersey, kind of stating the obvious here, but it's worth revisiting. The past few weeks have not been kind to Penn State recruiting. Seems they were in the top 3 to 5 schools with a lot of 5-star kids who committed, all to other schools. I would have liked to see at least one pick Penn State, but seems every single one is going elsewhere. It once looked like they could land a few, now seems they won't land any. So there's not really a question there, more of a statement that steers you in the direction.
Yeah, so it's been tough. There's no doubt about that. And I think one of the hardest things we have to do when it comes to recruiting is obviously reconciling the statements we've made before. Look, I don't disappointment. But they have a top 10 class. So how disappointed can you be on one hand? On the other hand, you had two guys, you know, in Brian Brisee and Julian Fleming. They're not the only top targets that have picked other schools, but they're among the list. And Penn State expected to land both of those guys, Dustin. They don't end up getting either. So, or at least doesn't look like they will, with Fleming set to decide and likely picking Ohio State on May 31. So disappointing, I think, is the word, but I think you have to be optimistic about what they have in this class so far. It's not top 10 because they don't have good commitments, but this was supposed to be the class that kind of pushed Penn State over the top and really sort of gave them, I don't want to say the missing pieces of the puzzle, but finally those 5-star true stud can't miss guys that Ohio State and Clemson land in bulk. It hasn't worked out that way yet. Maybe it will down the road, but I hesitate to say disappointing, but I think you have to be a little bit if you're a Penn State fan or the Penn State football program.
Well, it all goes back to, and we talked about this with Jimmy Boy over here last week, you know, the expectation as you're midway through, you're early in the 2019 recruiting process, the expectations for that class weren't particularly high. And I think a lot of people, you know, maybe myself included sometimes, were guilty of looking ahead to 2020 and trying to figure out, all right, how good can this class be? You know, 2018 was great. 2019 at that point in time was a good class, but 2020 could be it. You know, 2020 could be the class that gets you into that sort of national championship conversation. So I think a lot of this ties into where people's expectations were. And I've got another question that's along the same lines. Dave from Lakewood Ranch, Florida. In a class of 10 recruits for the 2020 class, half of them are offensive linemen. and we still have a couple more highly rated targets we're after, we meaning Penn State. Do you feel we are just refilling our depth, overcompensating for the loss of Nana, Asidu, and Juice Scruggs, preparing for the inevitable fact of the transfer portal, or something else? So in other words, why such a heavy offensive line presence in the 2020 class?
Well, let's just clear up one thing quickly, and that's Juice Scruggs is going to be back. It's just a matter of when. We don't know yet. It was good to see him at the Blue-White game, obviously, to support his teammates and all of that. So I'm sure Penn State's hoping he can get back in the fold for summer camp, but if not, you know, maybe sometime during the season, time will tell. We haven't heard anything new about that. But, I mean, I think it's just you got to take – Penn State fans should know better than anybody that you can take, you know, 3-4-star offensive linemen and they may never see the field. You just don't know all the time with these guys how they're going to develop, how they're going to shake out once the pads are on at the college level and they're going against other top athletes and maybe not the level of competition they were facing in high school. So – if you have the space to do it, and Penn State does, you know, you have to take them. And that's not to mention the fact that Bates and McGovern both left early. I think that's a part of this, too. I think Penn State was going to use roster recruiting class spots on these guys no matter what. But I think it maybe had an extra level of, need once those two guys left early. Obviously, the situation with Nana is unfortunate. The situation with Scruggs is unfortunate, even though he should be able to return sooner rather than later, hopefully. So I just think Penn State wanted to bulk up its depth, Dustin, and it's been able to do that so far. And I think there's still room to grow.
I think it, frankly, you know, Penn State needed this infusion of talent, especially at the tackle spots. And I think that's one area where you're seeing, you know, I think maybe one of these guys who isn't defined as a tackle in the 2020 class might be destined to play that spot. And we'll give him, you know, at least two tackles so far. Aaron Parks and Grant Tutant are true tackle types, but they need depth, I think, at all the spots, but especially at tackle. You know, it's hard to fathom in a class of 20 guys or whatever that you're going to have 7 offensive linemen, but that might be where things stand right now. And I think that it's addressing a potential depth crisis. All it takes, you know, honestly, is one guy to walk away from football, one guy to leave early from the draft, if Michael Mennett, let's say, does. You know, that can be a fine line.
Well, and in that vein, I mean, keep in mind, it was right around this time last year when Robbie Martin decided to give up the game, and Penn State thought they had something in him to maybe be a contributor down the road. So you hit the nail right on the head. And it's not like other positions where, I think Penn State was more fortunate than anything else that they could flip C.J. Thorpe over to the defensive line, and he could go out and contribute in a game. But you're not going to do that in the inverse. You're not going to take defensive tackles and make them offensive linemen in a week or two. So more that position more than any other one, if you don't have the depth on your roster, you're going to be very hard-pressed to find it by moving guys around.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg. We're taking your Penn State football and recruiting questions. This segment brought to you by tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. The winner of this segment, whoever asked the best question by Greg standards, gets a bottle of tailgate wine from tailgatewine.com. Here's a good question that, we sort of touched on this a little bit. Bill from Philadelphia, if I set the over under the 2019 recruiting burning their red shirt at 5, so 5 freshmen burning their red shirt in 2019, what would you take? Also, who could be a surprise candidate to burn their red shirt?
I think I would take the under on that because I think a lot of these guys are going to get some run, but I don't know. I feel like there's enough of them that can get some run and be good enough to play. Not, I don't want to say that they are interchangeable, but I kind of think they might be. So I think you'll get 3-4 at the absolute most that could burn their red shirt, and then maybe 7 or 8 guys that play that 4-game limit and then save a year of eligibility. So I'll take the under there. It's not a strong lean, but it's definitely not I feel fairly confident that it'll be less than 5, unless there's injuries, of course, that changes everything. But one guy that might be a surprise, you know, I don't know. I don't think anyone would be shocked if Rudolph or Wilson or Ellis or Smith or Dixon come into this category. Noah Kane, obviously, the same deal. So Devin Ford, perhaps, I guess, could be a surprise just because he came to campus late, and more of these guys, obviously there's 3 already here ready to go, so I guess I'll go with Devin Ford. But it, you know, there's not really any great feeling behind that one other than he's going to be have an opportunity to play.
So the interesting thing when you look at the highest rated players in the class, Brandon Smith, Lance Dixon, especially if you look at the 24/7 sports, they're publications rankings. Adisa Isaac, Noah Kane is in that group as well. Devin Ford, Caden Wallace, John Dunmore. There's just you don't see a lot of you know, you're looking for a couple ingredients, college readiness, and you're looking for an area of need, and where there's opportunities, where those are going to be. And Dixon and Smith are playing a linebacker position that it's as deep as it's been in a long time. Adisa Isaac is in a pretty deep defensive end rotation. He'll need some development anyway. Noah Kane, we do expect to see the field. Devin Ford, because Noah Kane showed up in January, because Journey Brown's look good, because Ricky Slade is your probable, you know, de facto number one there. You know, he might be a stronger candidate than I would have ever expected him to be to redshirt. Caden Wallace, you never see offensive linemen play as true freshmen. It's very, very rare nationwide, especially at Penn State. And then John Dunmore, the other one worth mentioning. There's a lot of bodies at wide receiver. Yeah. I don't know who's what at this point, but there's a lot of bodies at wide receiver. Receiver doesn't really lend itself to burning the redshirt. So it's an interesting, this class is really, really good, but I would go with the under as well.
Yeah, I think that, again, injuries change everything, but there's enough older guys on this roster in my mind to not have to force that many guys into playing more than four games this year.
Let's squeeze one more question in here, then we'll get to your winner. Jeff from Elizabethtown, pretty nearby. With Penn State recent dominating success recruiting certain positions, running back, linebacker, etc., do they lose out on top talent because of fear of competition and or depth?
It's a really good question, because I think people do wonder about this a lot. I don't necessarily. The kids Penn State are recruiting, they're all almost all of them are going to places where the depth chart's loaded. Penn State wouldn't have 9-10 wins the last how many years if they didn't have really talented kids on the roster. So they also wouldn't have put as many guys into the NFL draft as they did. So I don't think they lose recruits because of that. Julian Fleming's going to have 5 starts to compete against if he goes to Ohio State. Brian Bresee is going to have 4 and 5 starts to compete against at Clemson if he goes, or, you know, when he goes to the Tigers, like we assume he will. So I don't think that has anything to do with who Penn State's losing. Could it be quarterback? Yeah, I think every program in the country is going to be dealing with that, as we've detailed in great length. You know, these guys who are expecting to play right away and then maybe sit out the first year or two of their career are going to find it hard. So I think quarterback, maybe running back potentially with how young and good these guys are. But other than that, no, I don't think so.
So who's got the best question?
You know what? Let's go with the last one. I like that because it's one that a lot of people, you know, want to talk about and want to have insight on, because there's a need, I think, to have the losses explained, and that, I think, helps explain it.
So there you go. Jeff from Elizabethtown. Expect communication from us and a bottle of tailgate wine. Congratulations. Thanks, everybody else, for your questions. Thanks for tuning in this week. If you don't know, you can check us out, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com and the Keystone Sports app.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.